Well, nice to see you all, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Brother Rob, Jamie, nice to see you. Yeah, we had a good time.
We did.
When you were in Ukraine. You forgot to tell them how you purchased this beautiful crystal vase.
Oh, great. I should have bought it.
Well, what you think about it is that he was charged for it as a crystal vase. All it was is a simple glass.
That's all it was, yeah.
Well, nice to see all of you. It was a very good worship time. You sing well.
Thank you.
Dear ladies.
Is your mic on?
No.
Is it on?
Rob, it's going to have to hold one.
It's not working again.
Maybe. Is it better now?
No.
No.
It's got nothing there.
It's broke.
Broken?
It's, yeah, just grab them.
Okay.
Just a minute. Let's try it one more time.
One more time.
Just a little.
One more time. Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay.
I think we had that problem.
Yes, we did.
This one's good?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I said before, it's nice to see you all. Nice to see Pastor Raul and JD. And it was a good worship. I appreciate your sincerity. I really enjoy it when I see a sincerity in the hearts of the people that love the Lord.
Yes.
I was in this church long time ago. But you probably don't remember me, and I don't remember you. Don't recognize any of you, especially perhaps because you're sitting behind those blue thingies. But probably even without it, I wouldn't recognize you, because it was a while ago. That time, I was, young and handsome. Now all I have is and left. You heard that, probably. It's not funny to you. But yes, time is going forward very quickly. And so there's nothing we can do it, but there's one thing we can find the encouragement in, namely the fact that we are closer to be with the Lord forever and ever. All right, not to waste too much time on the introduction, we'll take you to my favorite book in the Bible. You have a favorite book? We all know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And is profitable. So, from the first book of Moses to Revelation, all those books are inspired by God, and they are profitable for our learning, etc., etc. But let's say that you were to go, if you were to be banished to the island like John, from disciple of Jesus, if you were to leave your favorite place where you live and you, for your faith, you were to be taken to the deserted island, what, and you were allowed to take only one book from the Bible, which book would it be? Now remember that the library, Biblia, the collection of books, that's what it means in Greek. If you were to pick up one book, there's 66 of them, that's quite a collection, which one would it be? If you were allowed, you're allowed to take only one. Anybody?
Romans.
John. All right.
John.
John, of course, of course. You taught the Gospel of John in Ukraine. And I really appreciate it. You did a terrific job. I really enjoyed it.
Isaiah.
Huh?
Isaiah.
All right. Isaiah.
Luke.
Luke? The Gospel of Luke? Good.
Ephesians?
All right. Well, good. They are all good. They are inspired, and they are the Word of God. But if I were to take one, guess what book would that be? I would take the book of Hebrews. Okay. Our sister read from the book of Hebrews. I found that very interesting because I am going to share a couple of verses with you from the book of Hebrews. I like that book. It's not an easy book to understand. In order to really glean maximum from this book, you would have to know the Old Testament very well, because there's so much written from the Old Testament, and then it was taken to the New Testament and presented in the New Testament light. So I don't know how many people actually prefer this book in the Bible. Like I said, you have to do a lot of studying to be able to glean as much as possible. But I like this book, and if I were to leave Edmonton and end up somewhere on the isle all by myself, and I was allowed to take one book only, then it would be Book of Hebrews. So from this book, I'm going to share two verses with you. Our time is limited, so let's go quickly to the chapter 12, and we are going to read verses 1 and 2. Only two verses, all right? Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, they say that if you find this word in the Bible, therefore, you should check why it is therefore. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. Father in heaven, we humbly come before you, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to glean something from the passage that we read that we could use as an encouragement. We live in a difficult times. Things are changing around us, and we do need encouragement, and we know that you are the source of all encouragement, and your word is the source of encouragement. So be honored, Lord, in everything that is said and done in this place this morning. Christian life is compared to a number of things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, it would be a little different context because relationship that people had with God, it was different than in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ. We come to the Father through him. We know he's the Messiah, Son of God. Now, that was not necessarily all that clear in the Old Testament. Yes, there were prophecies, but those that studied the prophecies, they knew Messiah's coming, but they were still missing a lot of details. So when I say that in the Bible there are many comparisons between Christian life, the comparisons that have to do with the Christian life, please understand that it's different between two testaments. But there are a number of comparisons. What are they? Well, the Christian life is compared to us being a part of the vine. Jesus himself said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus frequently used comparisons because comparisons are good. Help us to understand certain concepts, spiritual concepts. Jesus used parables and comparisons. That was the idea, to help people to grasp the concept. So we are compared to a vine. We are compared to the temple. Every one of us is a brick somewhere there in a temple of God. Right underneath there are apostles. And even below that, there's a chief cornerstone. Behold, I lay in Zion for the foundation a stone. And that stone is, of course, Jesus Christ. So we are compared to the temple. Then we are compared to a human body. Every one of us is a member of the body. We are not all hand. We are not a leg. We are not a head. Well, head is Jesus Christ. But we are the members, and the body functions beautifully. That's and every member performs its function. But in this passage that we read, the Christian life is compared to a race. Let us run. Let us run. You read the passage in which also there were two or three encouragements, exhortations in the form of let us. Let us come to the throne of grace. Let us. The book of Hebrews has lots of those let us's, if I can put it that way. All they are encouragements, calls to do something, calls to engage our will that God gave us as a precious gift. We are to do things. Let us. The author of Hebrews likes that expression, and he uses it quite a few times throughout this book. Even in the passage that we read, he uses it twice in one verse. Let us lay aside every weight, and then further on, let us run with endurance the race set before us. So, we are all running. Whether we realize it or not, whether we think about it often or not, we are running. The spiritual life is a race. We are moving forward. And in those two verses, short verses, the author of Hebrews lists or underscores four things that we are to remember while we run that race. What are they? Number one, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. I'll stop here. First thing we would be wise to remember, running the spiritual race, taking part in the spiritual race, would be to benefit from the huge cloud of witnesses that surrounds us all around. Who are those witnesses? Well, for the author of this, of these words, those were obviously Old Testament saints, right? Because he was writing these words around 64, 68 AD. That was a long time ago, almost 2,000 years ago. He was writing these words. And he was talking about the cloud of witnesses. Who were those people that composed that cloud for him? Those were Old Testament saints. Of course, there are a lot of them. And actually, when he started to list them in chapter 11 of this book, starting with Abel and going on and on, then finally he realized that, hey, wait a minute, there's too many of them. So he kind of brings them together, and he says, well, time would fail me to mention him and him and her and him and him and her. No, there's just too many. But you know, all of them together, they constitute the cloud of witnesses. And he says, well, let's keep on looking at them. Some preachers of the Word of God create a picture on the basis of this verse. this picture, that somewhere there in the balcony of heaven, there are saints of the Old and New Testament standing and looking down and cheering those that are still on the earth, running their race. They are cheering them on and saying, come on, Mary, come on, John, move forward, don't give up, run with endurance. Not a bad picture. There's only one thing about it. I don't hear their voice now from heaven. So I would suggest that perhaps different understanding would be better and more accurate. They are encouraging us via through the testimony that they left behind. You can read about it, you can study it, and you can say, wow, in those circumstances, they were able to move forward for God. They were able to run the race. My goodness, even when that hot furnace was before them, they didn't give up. And then there was a threat to be sown asunder, like Isaiah did. They didn't give up. My goodness. And I have trouble with those blue masks on my nose. I know they're not convenient. I don't like them. My glasses fog up and I can't see very well. They're not convenient. But, and the times are changing. More and more people in our province are getting sick. And sometimes you get the feeling, what is going on? And mental health of a lot of people, Canadians, are going down. The psychologists are busy. My daughter and my son-in-law, both psychologists and working with kids, they see the increase, even young kids feeling the burden of the situation. All right. They were running the race for us, friends. We live in such a tremendous time. The author of those words, like I said, was thinking about Old Testament saints, but now we have a whole bunch of New Testament saints that also left tremendous testimony behind them. We are to study their life, analyze their life, and find encouragement in them. The second thing we need to, would be wise to remember as we run that race, would be to lay aside every sin and weight that so easily pushes us out of the way, besets us. You know, I know your pastor likes jogging. I don't do much jogging, but so if we were to run together from 53rd Street there between those two ponds to the church, he probably would be first because he has a lot of experience in jogging. I don't. But you know when he wouldn't be able to beat me? I'll tell you quickly when. If I were allowed to give him two pails, one pail in one hand, the other pail in the other hand, and I would put something into those pails. One of them I would fill up with the, let's say crude bitumen from Fort McMurray, right to the brim, right to the top. I deliberately use bitumen because it's black and doesn't look good. It's a good symbol of sin. In the second pail, I would put some stones, some bricks, and to make sure he doesn't beat me, I would put a little chunk of steel. Want to run with me? No. Because, I know why. Because by the time he would reach Ken's furniture, if he could make it that far, I'd be already here enjoying coffee. Right. I would leave him behind, even though he could be a better runner than I am. See, this is the illustration. It's hard to run when we are burdened, overloaded. Let's remember that in our spiritual marathon, we need to be as light as possible, and there's nothing worse than the weight of sin and other things that are not necessarily sinful, but nevertheless, they are burdens, they are weights that so easily beset us. I can tell you personal illustrations of that. Maybe very quickly, when I was a teenager, I was saved when I was 17, even though I was growing up in a Christian home. But then, after a year or so, because there was no church in the city where I lived in southeastern part of Poland, and I was at school, and there was this peer pressure, slowly I drifted away. And I have returned to my habit, sinful habit. That was smoking. Since I came to North America, I realized that smoking sometimes is perceived differently, but it's not my place to analyze this. All I want to tell you that for me, at that time, in this particular situation, smoking was sin. And all my spiritual progress was hinging on that particular sin. And I got sick of it, and I got tired of it, and I understood that unless I beat that habit, I will not be able to grow spiritually. Because in my mind, I perceived it as a sin. But what am I going to do? I can't beat that habit. We didn't have all those chemicals that are available today that you can use and possibly get out of it. We didn't. You either quit it on the basis of your strong will, or you don't. Well, what will I do? What will I do? I wrestled with it, I felt bad about it. I would buy a new pack of cigarettes, smoke one, and then I'd feel bad about it. So I would take the whole box and I twisted it and I threw it under the bush, only to return the hour later and pick it up and put it together. That was a huge fight, struggle. Finally, I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do? My 20th birthday was coming up, and then it occurred to me, and then I made the decision, on my 20th birthday, I'm going to fall before the Lord on my knees, and I will tell Him all about my struggles. And I did. And I hated it so much, and I wanted it so badly to be free, so on my 20th birthday, I fell on my knees and said, Lord, I can do it myself. Please help me. And you know what? When I got up from my knees, I knew that I am free. From that moment on, I never desired another cigarette. And not only that, but when I found myself in the presence of the smoking person, I just couldn't stand it. Freedom. The Lord can set us free from the weights and sin that so easily beset us. And the third thing, and I will quickly come to an end, probably won't be able to develop all four of them, but the third one has to do with the substance that we need to take with us, lots of it, as much as possible. When we take part in this race called spiritual marathon, while we run the race that is set before us, we would be wise to take with us a lot of hupomeno. Hupo what, you say? Well, you heard me right. Hupomeno. There's a substance called hupomeno. You don't know what it is, do you? I'll tell you. It's a Greek word. No wonder you don't understand it. Not only that, but it's a Greek word made out of two words, hupo and meno. Hupo means under, meno means to remain. Hupo meno is a diphthong, and it means the ability to stay under pressure, under force. We need that in our spiritual race. We need, in English it is translated, endurance. We need lots of it, friends. The life out there is not easy. And if you don't have endurance, you might find yourself in a ditch or close to it from time to time. The hupomeno, ability to stay under pressure. And the most important thing is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Yes, we look at the cloud of witnesses. Yes, we ask Jesus for grace to make us as light, spiritually speaking, as possible. Yes, we take a lot of endurance or allow the Holy Spirit to develop it within us. But the most important thing is to look unto Jesus and see Him. See Him where? Well, in all kinds of situations when He was in the flesh. We can see him in the desert struggling with the devil. who wanted to make him king of the world. And Jesus turns to him, "Get out of here, Satan." He didn't say that in that particular passage, but he could have easily said that, "I am the king of the universe. Everything that exists was created through me and for me. And you are coming in to me with this sort of offer. I uphold," the beginning of Hebrews, "all things by my powerful word," the word of my power. Come on. We could look at many situations in the life of Jesus and see that, yes, he is the one where we should have our eyes fixed upon. Hallelujah. So I wish you, brothers and sisters, to run the race in such a way that you see some distinct, definite movement. Run in the race that was set before you, and God will help you. Amen. Communion time. Okay, I will read the passage well known to us. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and we have given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So please, now, would you approach the point where you can take your emblems? Mm-hmm.